chapter 12 in the book of Revelation. I want to read just a little bit, and I'll say again that I'll try my best not to keep you very long. But I would like to share a few thoughts if you would like to stay and listen. Now, I don't think it's all that late. It might be kind of late, I don't know. But I don't think it's all that late. And is it kind of cool in here to you? Is it a little bit cool? I was thinking it was just a little bit cool. Now, they have some laws here in Orlando that I think it's a very foolish sort of a thing, but if they can live with it, I can make out with it all right. But they tell me I have to take my heaters out from under the tent, raise the curtains, and blow the heat from outside under the tent. It's one of the most foolish things I ever heard of. I've never heard of it anywhere else in the United States that I know of. Maybe they had it and I just didn't run into it. But I think it's a very foolish thing. And I dare say, I doubt if any other evangelists do it. But to honor them, I put the heaters outside, and that's why it's a little bit cool in here tonight. You know, I really feel like people that love God ought to rise up against such laws, because it's nothing but the devil to freeze out God's people. You let a circus come to town, or let some big to-do come to town, and you see if they don't put the heat under there and everybody goes along with it. But see, it's to hurt God's people and to make ordinance binding to where God's people can't have convenience. I've got plenty of big blow heaters out here. You just hook them up in this whole tent just to be warm in a few minutes. But nevertheless, that's why that you're uncomfortable tonight. Otherwise, I would have it all fixed up for you. If the fellows would like, they'd roll the edge of the canvas up there, roll those heaters up, and we'll keep our word while we're in here in Orlando. I gave them my word. But I tell you what, I have learned this, folks. When the Lord sends me into a place, and I'm not saying this in any lifted up manner, but just according to godliness, when He sends me into a place, something happens when I leave the place. And so then if they give me trouble, there'll be trouble for Orlando. So you pray that God will work everything out for your sake. I remember when we went to the Ohio Valley, and we went there, and they didn't receive us. And I told my wife, I remember so well, I said, let's get out of this valley, because God may flood this place. Let's get out of here. And we got out of there, and we got a report that the Ohio Valley was flooded, and 100,000 lives were in jeopardy. And it remained that way until we was riding down the road, listening over the radio, and the Lord is my witness. They said that 100,000 lives are in jeopardy, and out of compassion in my heart, I said, Lord, for Christ's sake, do something for those people and let the waters recede and go back into the banks. And the radios bladed out, so the waters are receding and going back into their banks. So God will do something if you pray. And we come here out of the love of God. And we've been praying for you ever since we've been here. I've been constantly praying for you and your loved ones ever since I've been here in Orlando. But I try to keep my word, and I told them that I would do that, and so I did it. All right, now, but if you will be patient and love the Lord and bear with me if you're just a little bit chilly, you know, Jesus endured the cross. The Bible said He endured the cross, despising the shame thereof, but for the joys that was set before Him, He endured the cross. Now, I want to say again, I'm thankful for you that have come out. We've had a tremendous turnover, and I'm thankful for you that come out, and I certainly hope that you will be here with us for the weekend services. I'm looking for some great services. The last time we was under the tent down here, we had a jubilee. We still have it on tape, and the people were shouting and praising God, and the power of God was so that they were hollering and screaming, and we were having a jubilee. And I believe God is going to bless us. While they are working with the heaters, if you can concentrate and look in my direction. Now, I'm not much to look at, but Peter one time said, look on us. See, that's the way to concentrate, is to look on us. And the Bible said that the man at the gate called beautiful, he looked on Peter expecting to receive something of it. And it's not us that speak, but the Heavenly Father that speaketh from within us. Judgment beginning at the house of God, the minister has the power to bind your sins or remit your sins. And so then it behooves us to listen real good and to do everything that we can. I know that every evangelist that comes through and every preacher that comes through, he doesn't have the power to bind your sins and remit your sins, because a lot of times he's not even a man of God. But if it be a true man of God, then you can rest assured that he hath the power to remit your sins or to retain your sins. The Bible said, as my Father sent me, so send I you. Whosoever sins you remit shall be remitted. Whosoever sins you retain shall be retained. Whatever you bind on earth, I'll bind in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth, I'll loose in heaven. Go into a city, if they receive you in that city, stay there, abide, taking whatever things that they give you to eat or whatever, and heal the sick in that city. Now, if or in that house, and if you go to a place and they do not receive you, then shake the dust off of your feet as a witness and a testimony against that city. So now I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of God's judgment than for that city. A lot of times when we say in the day of God's judgment, we will say that means at the coming of the Lord Jesus, but not necessarily. See, it could mean that when the iniquity of that particular city is full, as it was with Egypt, then the judgment will come on it. And at that time, it will be a horrible thing. So we never know what hour of the judgment of God is coming on a city or on a home. But there's one thing about it. If we live holy, we will escape the judgments of God. The Bible said it'll fall all around you, but it won't come nigh your dwelling. And that's the promise of the Lord. Isn't that right? You know, I can feel faith here tonight. Tell you some people that believe God here tonight. Because I can feel the Holy Spirit, and I can feel that virtue of the Lord. And I can tell by that it's real, not make-believe, but real, genuine faith coming out of the heart of somebody here tonight. All right, so then I want to talk with you, and I want you to listen. You've been a real good audience. Numbers of nights here that you've been real good. You've concentrated. You've listened, and I've been able to say a few things that I feel that might have encouraged somebody. I appreciate our brother Eldridge coming out. I met him in the last revival, and he's been very loyal and faithful to come out here. And he got up the other night, and he said some things for God, and it just stirred our people, my co-workers, it just stirred them up. They talked about it for a long time after, how that they really enjoyed it and what it done for them. All right, so in the book of Revelation, chapter 12, beginning at the first verse, let's just read a little bit, and I believe that heat will knock off some of the chill, and everything will be all right. Chapter 12, the first verse, and there appeared a great wonder in heaven. You got your Bibles now? And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth and pain to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns, and 7 crowns upon his heads. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven, and he cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. And she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought in his angels, and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil, and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength, and the kingdom of our God, and the power of his Christ. And the power of his Christ, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto the death. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. For woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea. For the devil is come down unto you having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. And when the dragon saw that he was cast into the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. And to the woman were given 2 wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for a time and times, and half a time from the face of the serpent. And the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. And the earth hemmed the woman, and the earth opened her mouth, and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. And the dragon was wroth with the woman, and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. If you notice here, there's two or three things that I would like to highlight in this chapter 12 of the book of Revelation. Now, the man that is seeing this great revelation is exiled to a little isle called Patmos, a little place just a few miles off of the coast of Minor or Asia Minor, just a little ways off, maybe 30 miles or something, off of the coast of Asia Minor. He had been exiled there for his testimony. But see, all things work together for good to them that love the Lord. Isn't that right? John being exiled, it looked mighty bad for him when they put him over on the Isle of Patmos. But John eventually learned that it was the hand of the living God that had put him over there so that he could do something in his life and ministry that had never been done before. And that he was going to give him something that would become a great memorial unto God and unto all humanity as long as the world or eternity stood. Now, so then in this writing, as John, being in the Spirit on the Lord's day, wrote these things, he beheld such great outstanding things. But when he got to chapter 12, here as he began to behold this, the Bible said that he referred to this as a great wonder in heaven. Now, this somehow or another appealed to John in some way that other things that he had seen had not appealed to him. For he said, behold, I saw a great wonder in heaven. You know, I had a vision one night, and in this vision I looked, and God had lifted me up from the earth. And I was way up between heaven and earth. And there I was looking toward heaven, and I began to see things happen in the heavens. And I looked back down on the earth, and as I looked back, I saw a multitude of people. And I said to this multitude of people, I said, look at these great things that's taking place in heaven. I said, behold these things that are taking place in heaven. But you know, I became aware of the fact that those people that were there on the earth did not see those things that was taking place in heaven. They were looking straight at me, and they were listening to my words, but they could not see the things that was taking place in heaven. See, and so it is with John. John being exiled, he looked away to heaven, and he saw these great and mighty things taking place in heaven. And he said, I saw a great wonder in heaven. As he looked away to heaven, he saw this great wonder. And this is what John described as he beheld this great wonder. He said, I saw a woman, and so this woman was standing right in the midst of heaven. And said, while she was up there in the midst of heaven, I noticed that this woman was clothed with the sun. I noticed that she had the moon under her feet. And I beheld, and I saw upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And he said, it was such a great wonder. And said, this woman was in great travail, for she was almost at the place to be delivered of a child. And said, in this great travail, he said, I beheld, and I saw that there was a dragon, a great red dragon, that was laying there right before the woman. And this great red dragon was ready to devour this child just as quick as it was born. So then he said, I beheld this great red dragon, and I saw this great wonder in heaven. And he said, about this time I saw something take place. All of a sudden, here comes Michael, the great archangel, and Michael began to war. And Michael began to fight, and something began to take place. And I read to you last night where the Bible spoke of Michael standing in the latter time for his people. God spoke to Daniel and said, in the last days, Daniel, Michael the great prince shall stand for his people. All right, now, here this great Michael is. Remember, Michael is a warrior. How many know that Michael is a warrior? See, Michael is a warrior. Now, when you hear about Gabriel, he's altogether different. Gabriel, he's not a warrior. He's a messenger. See, Gabriel is the one that come down and announced the birth of Christ. See, glad tidings and great joy, because he's a messenger. But when Michael comes along, that means war, because he is a great prince and a mighty warrior. And the Bible said that in the latter times, Michael shall stand up for his people. And his people here is the Jewish people. He's referring to the Jewish people. And so then here we read at the last hour. See, now we're reading at the last hour. Is that right? I was reading in the book of Daniel, which was maybe 500 B.C., way back there.
But now here we are over here at least 500 or 600 years later, where John in 96 AD is exiled to Patmos and is writing the book of Revelation. And so then John here, he sees these great wonders. See, the angel said to Daniel, said, seal it up, Daniel, for the time is not at hand now, but seal it up until that day, said, you'll rest in your lot. But then when he speaks to John, he said, John, don't seal it up, for the time is at hand. See, the time is at hand. It's not to be sealed up, but it is to be revelated. It is to be broke open. It is to be made known to the people. I like that, don't you? The book of Revelation. Hallelujah. Now, so then John wrote this book. Now, he wrote this book just a few short years after Calvary. What is the book of Revelation? The book of Revelation is Calvary in an expose or Christ on exhibit. See, he wrote this just a few short years, 30 or 40 years after Calvary. John was exiled to the Isle of Patmos, and he wrote this book. But it's been a sealed book. He wrote about Calvary, but it's been a sealed book until this last day. And now in this last day, God is opening the book of Revelation to the church. Why is God opening the book of Revelation to the church? The reason that God is doing that is because it's going to take the revelation of Jesus Christ to translate the church that they should not see death. See, you got three parts of the Bible. You've got the Old Testament, you've got the New Testament, and you've got the book of Revelation. Isn't that right? You got three kinds of people in the world. You got the Jewish people, you got the Gentile people, and then you got the church. Isn't that right? And so then the law in the Old Testament belongs to the Jew. The New Testament belongs to the Gentiles. For how can the Gentiles live unless God gives them grace? And that's what the New Testament talks about. But the book of Revelation, which is the revelation of Jesus Christ, neither belongs to the Jew nor to the Gentile, but to the living church of the living God. It is the powers of translation that Paul said would take the church out of this world. All right, so then it is the mysteries of God. And John, seeing these great mysteries, he begins to try to explain what he understands of these mysteries. This woman, he said, I saw in heaven. I saw her clothed with the sun. I saw the moon under her feet. I saw a crown of 12 stars upon this woman's head. Now, here he saw this woman travailing in birth, a great pain to be delivered, to bring forth a man-child. Now, this man-child, according to John, was to rule all nations, rule America, rule Germany, rule Russia, rule China. See, it isn't going to be like Jimmy Carter just ruling America, or like the king over yonder in another country just ruling that country. But the Bible said that this child, this man-child, he will rule the entire world. There'll be one kingdom. There'll be one throne. He'll sit down upon this earth right here and rule with a rod of iron. A lot of people say, Brother Pike, I don't believe that anybody will ever rule the entire world on this earth. But God says that they will. A lot of people say, well, I believe when the new earth comes that will happen. But I want you to understand something tonight now. The new earth is altogether different from the great thousand years millennium. How do you understand that? I know that some churches, they say that the thousand years millennium, the thousand years reign where Christ Jesus is going to sit on his throne, judge all nations, they say that's the new earth. But that's not what the Bible says. See, the millennium is not the new earth. The millennium is a thousand years of government that belongs to the Jewish people, to where they will rule over all of the nations. And Jesus will sit upon the throne there as the man to rule all nations. The man Christ Jesus as the seed of David. So then the millennium is not the new earth. The millennium is the restored earth. See, the Bible said, I will restore, saith the Lord, all that the cankerworm has eaten, all the years the locust got. I will restore it, saith the Lord. So then God calls all the dark age, all of those powers of Catholicism, all of those evils, cankerworms and locusts and caterpillars. And he said all of that intellectual power devoured the church. But in the latter times, the Lord said, I will restore these things and bring about a great millennium government to where the seed of David shall sit and rule with a rod of iron. Alright, so then we see this great thing taking place. See, the millennium is the day of the restoration. God will restore all things in the millennium. And in that time, God will reveal who is the man-child. Alright, so then we see this great thing, and this woman is lifted up in heaven. She is clothed with the sun. What does it mean in her being clothed with the sun? What does that mean that she is clothed with the sun? You remember when John saw Jesus resurrected from the dead? He stood there on the Isle of Patmos, and when John beheld him, the Bible said that as John looked, it was as though the sun shined within his strength. You know, when the Spirit of God gets a hold of a person, and when the glory of God begins to move in a person, it's like the sun shining within their strength. You know, it doesn't matter what age you are, how young or how old, when the Spirit of God comes upon you and the Spirit of God moves within you, all of a sudden you're illuminated with the power and strength of God. There's the magnificent, untiring, unwavering effort that you can put forth because of that great Spirit of God and that great illumination that God brings to you. This woman was illuminated. That was the beautiful part of it. She was illuminated with what? She was illuminated with the sun. It was as though the sun shined within her strength. She was clothed with the garment of the sun. Now the sun is the day star, isn't that right? Scientists call it the day star. And the Bible tells us to hold fast till the day star dawn within our heart. When we get that day star on the inside, that revelation of Christ, that understanding of the Lord Jesus, there's something that begins to radiate. That thing begins to come out of our soul, out of our innermost being, and we begin to radiate. We find ourselves aglow and illuminated with the power of the living God. John said this woman was clothed with the sun. Another outstanding thing about this woman, he said, I looked and upon her head was 12 stars. Why did this woman have 12 stars upon her head? Because God promised to the overcomer, he said, he that overcometh, I will give unto him a crown of life. Is that right? Now, what is the crown of life? A lot of times, being carnal-minded, we think about a crown of life as somebody giving us a golden crown, you know, and putting a lot of jewels in it. But when the Bible said a crown of life, it's speaking of the soul being crowned with eternal living. See, life is eternal living. I will crown the soul with life, with eternal living. I will give you a crown of life. Hallelujah. And the radiance of the jewels of that life will be those that you have won to God. I will remember you when I make up my jewels, the Lord said. So then you are like jewels to God, and every one that we win to God will be radiant in our day of living throughout eternity to shine forth, saying that because you prayed, I am here today. You follow me? This woman had a great crown upon her head. A crown of 12 stars. Why not more stars? Why just 12 stars? It is because that she had the crown of life. What kind of crown was it? It was the teachings of the 12 apostolic leaders that God laid there as a foundation of Pentecost. Is that right? See, 12 apostolic leaders, 12 spiritual powers that was in her crown of life. Jesus said, my words are spirit and they are life. And so then this crown was, she was crowned with the knowledge of God, crowned with the teachings of the apostolic leaders, and this great crown upon her head was her crown of the word of life. Another thing that was strange about this woman was that she had the moon under her feet. What was this, the moon being under her feet? Because the Bible tells us that the lesser light goes back to the law and to the prophets. Is that right? That is the lesser light. The moon is a reflector. The law is a reflector of the great, great light of God, the day star. See, the day star is Christ Himself. And Moses had gotten up into the presence of God with the law. He reflected that was in heaven. And the writer or the speaker said to him, make all things in the earth according to the pattern that I show thee in the mount. In other words, everything that you see while you're elevated on Mount Sinai, while you look into the heavens, everything that you see, then write it down and make everything in the valley or there before the people just exactly a type and a shadow after that which you've seen from the great light. See, the moon reflects the light. The law is the lesser light. And we are the greater light. We are the light of the world. How do you understand what I'm saying? See, let your light so shine that men might see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. We are the unveiled light. The veil is gone. We're not an intellectual church of the letter that killeth, but we are lively stones quickened by the Holy Spirit. Have you ever felt the quickening of the Holy Spirit? Let me see your hand. Lively stone, see? A lively stone has got something on the inside. Jesus was, he was put to death in the flesh, but he was quickened in the Spirit. Have you been put to death in the flesh? Look, you can't be quickened in the Spirit until you're put to death in the flesh. You've got to crucify the old man. You've got to mortify the deeds of the body. You've got to swear to your own hurt and turn away from the things of the world. And then, being put to death in the flesh, you are quickened by the Spirit. That's why a lot of churches are spiritually dead, is because they've never died naturally. Alright. John says here that the strange thing about this woman was her feet was upon the moon. Alright, that can be explained like this, that we are founded upon the foundation of the law and the prophets. See, standing upon what Elijah said, standing upon what Abraham said, standing upon what the great powers of the prophetical utterance of the Old Testament has laid down for us to stand upon. We are standing upon the law and the prophets. We are founded upon the law and the prophets. And we are crowned with the teachings of the apostolic church, which makes us a great woman, even the elect lady, clothed with the Son, which is the righteousness of the living God. And so then Revelation 12, it reveals this great wonder in heaven. All of a sudden the travail is over. Finally the travail is over. The woman is not languishing anymore. All of the travail is over. Suddenly the relief comes and the child is born. Just as quick as it's born, the great red dragon is laying there, ready to get a hold of the child, devour the child. Now, let's look at it for a minute. What is the great red dragon? What is that great red dragon? If that woman is so outstanding, and that woman's about to bring forth a man child, that's the rule with the rod of iron. What is this great red dragon that is laying there ready to devour that child? The great red dragon indicates the blood birth, the blood stream. Life is in the blood. There is a blood life. There is a spirit life and there is a blood life. And that blood life is that great red dragon. Jesus called him a generation of vipers. He said a crooked, perverse generation of vipers. It's a blood life from the birth that took place in the garden that started the natural birth and done away with the spiritual birth. And so then that blood life, that child of bondage, that one which is born to the flesh, that blood life, that blood world, it was laying there to devour that man child just as quick as that man child came forth. Did you notice today? That old bondage child is laying there. This old worldly system of today says you can't set the heaters inside of the church. See, that old worldly system, that old intellectual blood child, that old blood life, that corruptible life. See, that red dragon. Why a red dragon? All the way from the beginning of the world, all the way from the garden experience coming all the way down. Every person that's born into this world is partakers of the blood of Adam, which is the blood life of the great red dragon. The crooked generation. The generation of serpents that he called the great red dragon. Did you notice? All down through time, all down through the pilgrimage of the patriarchs, all the way down, God always demanded blood. Is that right? God isn't bloodthirsty. God isn't a paganistic bloodthirsty God. But he always demanded blood. Why does he demand blood? Even for birth, blood has to be shed. Why does God demand blood? Because it's the spilling of the blood that releases the life that is in captivity. See, a person that is not a Christian is a pervert. Oh, now, somebody said, wait a minute. I'm not thinking of it the way you are. But they are perverted in the sight of God. It's like a rat. Look at a rat. There's life inside of the rat. Is that right? That life is just exactly the same as inside of a cat or a dog. But see, it is a perverted life. And yet the life isn't perverted, but it is under the control of a perverted brain work. See, the rat is made to destroy. He's a pestilence. He causes trouble. Is that right? The pestilence increased in the last day, he said. Not only natural pestilence, but there are spiritual pestilence. There are drunkards and harlots and liars and cheats and robbers and swindlers. And those that are in the high places up yonder in the government, in the law, in the forces in the earth, the educational people that spend all of their life trying to figure out how to take advantage of the little man and get everything he's got. Somebody say, I love Jesus. Now, that is a perverted life. You don't rest until you kill the rat. See, at death, the spirit goeth back to God who gave it. The life goeth back to God who gave it. God hath no pleasure in the death of the wicked. But it has to destroy the wicked because they've got life in captivity. They've took the life of God and they put it in captivity. And they've taken that perverted mind of theirs. They've let Satan take that brain that God made. That brain's not perverted. God made the brain. The body isn't perverted. God made the body. But that spirit of Satan, through their intellectual reasoning, through their five senses, their human desires, they have taken by that spirit, they have taken the life of God into captivity, and while that life keeps the body alive, they use that life to go to the dances. They use that life to go down to the beaches and frolic. They use that life to go down to the juke joints. They use that life to cheat, to rob, to steal, and swindle, and to commit harlotry. Somebody say amen. So then God doesn't rest until he brings death to his enemies. He said, I am angry with the wicked every day. Somebody said, Brother Pike, God loves everybody. The Bible doesn't say that. The Bible said God's angry with the wicked every day. And I will pursue the wicked, Christ said, until they perish from off of the face of the earth. Even the offering of the wicked is the abomination in my sight. Is that right? The offering of the wicked is the abomination in my sight. The prayers of the wicked is the abomination in my sight. He said the wicked is like the restless waves of the sea that's ever washing their mire up upon the shore. There's no rest or peace to the wicked. How is it then? They say that we're going to have peace. They're going to sign something with Germany, something with Russia, and then we're going to have a world peace. Friend, let me tell you, how can the wicked have peace? The Bible tells us that we are the children of peace. We make peace. But how can the world have peace? There is no peace to the wicked. The Bible said when they cry peace, then sudden destruction shall come upon them as a woman with travail. Is that right? All right, this life has to be taken out of the rat. See, it's got to go back to God who gave it. Now, but there is true life, real God life. There are sons of God. See, they're not of the red dragon. Why is it? You say, Brother Pike, you're born to the blood of Adam just like everybody else. I was born to the blood of Adam. So you was born to the blood of Adam. But see, by the washing of the water of regeneration, see, I am regenerated. I have changed generations. I was in the generation of Adam, but that old man is dead and crucified. He's dead for the life of Christ. He's been nailed to Calvary. I'm free from that pestilence and that parasite that tried to rob me of my life. I'm free from that tonight. Hallelujah. I've been set free, and tonight I'm not born of that blood, but I am a quickening spirit tonight. The Bible said he that is born of spirit is spirit. The first man, Adam, was made a living soul, but the last man, Adam, a quickening spirit. All right, so I'm a quickening spirit tonight. Everyone that is born of the Spirit is spirit. Can you say you're born of the Spirit? All right, so that old life is dead. When Jesus came at Calvary, what did he do? He was fastened to the cross. What was that? Remember now, the cross suspended between heaven and earth. Where did John see this woman? Between heaven and earth. Is that right? In the first heaven or the second heaven. Is that right? There he beheld this thing. Who was it? It was Jesus. Who was that woman? It was Jesus. Now somebody said, now wait a minute, Jesus isn't a woman. But see, the Bible speaks of humanity as being women. See, we are women in the sight of God. Is that right? Called Israel a woman. We are the bride. We are women in the sight of God. Out of the heart we bring forth the Son of God. Paul said, I travail till Christ be formed within you. And so then Jesus was there, typifying the church, typifying the body of Christ. There was the head of the church hanging at Calvary. And there is he hanging at Calvary, hanging up here between heaven and earth, as we would say. But he wasn't between heaven and earth. For he told Nicodemus, he said, the Son of God, the Son of Man. He said, I am in heaven. This woman was in heaven. John saw this woman in heaven. Jesus testified that he was in heaven. But to us, he was suspended between heaven and earth. See, showing the middle part, the second heaven. He wasn't on the earth, which had to do with the first heaven. He had not excelled the cross, which had to do with the third heaven, which was the liberties of the sons of God. But he was caught in between, where the battle was. There he hung. There was the woman. There was the blood issue. There was the child being born. There the spear went into the side, and out of the side of Adam came forth Eve. Come on now. Out of the side of Adam came forth Eve. Jesus hanged there in with the spear, and out of that side came forth the church. Out of that side came both the blood and the water, and the church was born. Hallelujah. Let she be born to the Spirit. Hallelujah. And of the blood of the water, you can't make it into the kingdom of the living God. All right. Here Moses on the mountain. God made the cliff in the rock. Is that right? And Jesus was the rock. Hallelujah. And he put us in the cliff of the rock. When that spear went into the side, the cliff was made in the rock. The Bible said the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous flee into it, and they are safe. And they're in the cliff of the rock. He puts us in the cliff of the rock through the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. Till the indignation is passed over. Is that right? He said, Israel, go into thy chambers until the indignation is passed over. What is the indignation? The tribulation period. What is the place of her hiding? For times, time and a half a time. It appears that it's what they call the Valley of Petra. Over there, a place that God's got down in Edom for her to hide away. For the Bible said, in the day of the Antichrist, his hand will stretch out over the earth, and nothing shall escape his hand except the land of Edom, the land of Ammon. And there is three places that God speaks of there that has to do with those sons back there in the days of Lot. How many are familiar with Lot's sons? See, these places, he said, will escape the hand of the Antichrist, because this is where God is going to hide Israel. And Israel in the natural is this woman that John saw in heaven. Going through the tribulation, this is Israel bringing forth her great king, the man child. But to us in the spirit is the true Jew. It is the church standing there, hallelujah, illuminated with the glory of God. It's Jesus, the body of Christ, that's hanging between heaven and earth. And the birth is taking place. Hallelujah. Somebody say, I love Jesus. Now look at it. Notice, when a birth takes place, what happens? The first thing that happens in the Old Testament, it speaks of the opening of the matric. And everyone that's born is called holy unto the Lord. Now, when this happens, what is the first thing that takes place? The first thing that takes place in the deliverance of a child is the head exposure of that child. The first thing that happens is the headship. That's why Jesus had to hang at Calvary, and that's the only part of the travail. There is no more travail. The travail of the woman is until the child comes forth as the headship. That's her travail. After that, then the physicians work with the head part of the child, and then the rest of the body is revealed. Is that right? So her travail is for the first part, and the labor of the ministry is for the rest of it. That's why at Calvary, when Jesus was born, the bowels of the earth open up. Out came the headship. That headship showed itself up yonder in the heavens with God, passing the spheres of this earth, going beyond the gravitational powers of sin, and the headship appeared in heaven. Hallelujah. Since that time, the angelic forces have been working to get that membership right on up there to where they can sit down in the throne with the Lord Jesus Christ. You follow me? Let's look at it a little closer. If then Jesus was born and the travail was over, Then from the time of Calvary comes the church ages. What is the church ages? The revealing of the mysteries of God. It is from the church ages, from the beginning of Calvary, that the physicians, which is the ministry, the Bible said, heal thyself, physician. The ministry starts working with the child. The headship is born. Jesus goes away. But the church is left here. The rest of the body of Christ has not been born. The membership of the body has not yet been born. You follow me? From Calvary, it's not yet been born. Then comes the preacher. Then come the physicians. And then comes the ministry of the seven angels. God proportionally, through seven church ages, calls the seven spirits of God that stand before the throne. Each one of those spirits is a great power of anointing that God has given to each angelic force down through the church ages to the church age messengers. And each one of them comes on the scene in their day, and they reveal a great portion of the mysteries of God. And the great portion of that age is drank up and eat up, and the people are kept alive by that great angelic messenger that brings forth the message for the church to feed off of. Look at Paul. Paul the revelator. Paul got a revelation. And then the people fed off of it, and the preachers begin to preach it. Is that right? Now, and so we see here that the ministers, the physicians, they start working with the church. Every church age, there is another portion of the mysteries of God revealed. And then the book of Revelation tells us that right at the end time, it says the sounding of the last trump, the last angelic minister that is to bring forth his mysteries, said when this last one sounds, the mysteries of God will be finished. Is that right? Look in Revelation 10. The angel sets one foot on the land, one foot on the sea, lifts up his hand to heaven and swear by him that liveth forever and ever that time should be no more. Maybe one of these nights we'll get into that about time being no more. But anyway, he put his foot on the land, put his foot on the sea, and swear by him that liveth forever and ever that time should be no more. Now, and when John went and took the little book, the whole book now, take the book. Lo, I come in the volume of the book. John be in the church. Take the book and eat the book. Said it'll be sweet in your mouth. But since he put the serpent on his belly, said it'll be bitter to your belly. Is that right? All right. So then he took the little book. Then John was about to write his seven thunders out of their voices. But the voice said, don't write, John. Don't write. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, then the mysteries of God shall be finished. Is that right? See, in the days of the sounding of the voice of the seventh angel, then the mysteries of God will be finished. Now, ever since Calvary, it's been a mystery. The church ages, there's been a revealing of the mysteries. But see, at the sounding of the last trump, what did the prophet say? The prophet said, in the evening time it shall come to pass that there shall be light. Is that right? Reckoning time from evening till morning, the day star. But he said, the light that shall come, it shall be sevenfold. See, every church age messenger bringing a light, the light of our understanding. But in the end time, the mysteries will be compact. The mysteries will be finished. They will be seven times in the end time what they was in the beginning. For in the end, I will give you both the former and the latter rain. Somebody say amen. What happens when that last messenger sounds? When that last angelic being sounds, the light will be sevenfold. How will it be sevenfold? Oh, my brother, it will be sevenfold because the woman was illuminated with the sun. It was as though the sun shined within her strength. See, the woman will take all of the glory of God, all of the mystery of God. It will be the body of Jesus, the man-child, caught up to the throne, illuminated with the fullness of the glory of God, which will cause the translation. You follow me? As quick as the seventh angel sounds, what happens? Revelation 12 comes. All of a sudden, the child goes up. Where does he go to? He's already in heaven. Oh, I wish we had time to preach this tonight. See, he's already in heaven. Where else can he go? But yet he went up. See, he's already in heaven, but yet he went up. Where did he go to? See, the woman was in heaven. And the Bible doesn't say the woman was cast out of heaven. Now, does it? But it says the red dragon was cast out. just as soon as that red blood life, just as soon as that old evil intellectual devil realized that he can't get a hold of this man child, that this man child has got the mind of Christ, then he's cast out. Is that right? All of a sudden that red devil realizes one thing, and that is that that child has the mind of God. And having the mind of God, he is caught up to the throne of God. And the fleshly educational system, the old blood life, doesn't have any power over him. He is a spiritual being. You follow me? Oh my, we need about 2 weeks to get this one over. Anyway, we see here that the child is caught up. Now let's see if we can explain it just a little bit. What is the child doing going up into heaven? For the child is already in heaven. But see, Paul speaks of a third heaven. See, the woman is in the second heaven. Is that right? There's the first heaven, second heaven, and there's the third heaven. Where is the first heaven? The first heaven, you remember the courts of the Old Testament? You remember down there, he made all things according to the pattern, showed him in the mount? What was it? See, it was a tabernacle. There was an outer court, inner court, and an innermost court. The innermost court was called the holiest of holies. The inner court was called the holy place. And the outer court was referred to of that as the judgment place. You understand what I'm saying? See, there is the law. There is the Jew, which signifies the outer courts of God. But God was with them. That was heaven. Oh, somebody said, I don't believe that was heaven, but it was heaven. When God's with his people, that's heaven. Oh, somebody said, that couldn't be, Brother Pike. Well, I'll tell you what, if you don't believe you're in heaven, you wait till you get in hell, and then you'll know you've been in heaven. Come on. I said, wait till you get in hell, and you'll know that you're in heaven then. All right, so there's a second heaven. What is that heaven? That's the place of the Gentiles. See, Gentiles on this side of Calvary is not the law. That is grace. Brother, when you got the grace of God, you're in heaven. Look at these people spit and chew and dip and kill and pervert and everything else. Yet they've got doctors that give them shots. They can get their tooth pulled. They don't have to suffer. Everything's right there to take care of them. That's heaven. But that's second heaven. See, that woman was in the second heaven. Where's that at? See, on Calvary, on the cross, in the second heaven, right here in this world. See, the church is in this realm. The church is in this realm. But don't forget, the devil was in this realm too. Is that right? See, the red dragon was in heaven. Somebody said, now where do you get that? The Bible said he was in heaven. He was right there waiting for the child to be born. He had to be in heaven or he couldn't have been cast out of heaven. Because when Michael rose up, the Bible said Michael cast him out of heaven. Come on now, you listening? There was that great red dragon, that blood life is in heaven. How did that blood life get into heaven? Because when Jesus was partakers of the blood of the children of mankind, that body that was redeemed, that Holy One, that blood which was not the blood of the red dragon, but the blood of God Himself, that created blood cell, that was made spirit. When that blood was caught up into heaven, went there upon the throne, that was the blood of the Lamb of Atonement. Aaron had to take that blood of atonement into the holiest of holies. And Jesus took his own blood as a lamb without spot, wrinkle, or blemish, took it into the holiest of holies and placed it upon the mercy seat of God to bring about a day of grace. Is that right? That's how the devil got into heaven. You understand what I'm saying? As long as God is giving grace to this generation of vipers in this earth, and that's what Jesus called them, as long as he's giving grace to the generation of vipers in this earth, the devil, the evil spirit, can live in their bloodstream and still frolic, but still be in heaven because they are in the grace of the living God. The Bible said when the sons of God come to present themselves before God, the sons of Satan came also. There's people that come into the church and they are the temples of Belial. Satan lives on the inside of them. The life, that perverted life, is in that blood. And they are in heaven. They are in grace. They're in the presence of God. Because God has given a day of grace. And as long as grace is over humanity, the devil, the evil spirit, can still dwell within a human temple. Demons can still live in a human temple and still get the grace of God by being a parasite, living off of the life that you have as a natural individual because you are in grace. How many understand what I'm saying? The woman is in the same realm. See? The woman, the fleshly part, the church, is in the same realm. Is that right? But oh, now listen just a minute. The Bible said during this travail. See, the church is in travail. When Zion travailed, sons and daughters are born into the kingdom. This woman that's in travail. How many believe the church is in travail today? Wrestling, the devil shall wear out the saints of God. Everything is coming down upon the woman. Trying to make her compromise. But Paul said, I travail till Christ be formed within you. Now that this little Christ is on the inside. That woman was about to bring forth a man-child. This man-child was a quickening spirit. You understand what I'm saying? Paul said, within my flesh there dwelleth no good thing. The devil is waiting. But this man on the inside is without spot, wrinkle, or blemish. It's Christ within you, the hope of glory. And so this Christ is caught up to the throne of God. At the new birth, when you are born again, that inner person becomes the quickening spirit. And that person is immediately born in the kingdom of God. For God hath translated us into the marvelous kingdom of our God. That inner man of yours is already translated into the kingdom of God. Caught up into the third heaven, the spiritual place. Hallelujah. You understand what I'm saying? Now, the church hasn't recognized this yet. My people perish from the lack of knowledge. They've not come to the revelation of it yet. But brother, when the church comes to the knowledge of the living God, then the devil will be cast out and great and mighty things will happen in heaven. The Bible said when Michael stood for his people, all of a sudden a voice screamed out. Lucifer went out of heaven. The old red dragon curled his tail around a third part of the stars and cast them down to earth. See them fallen spirits, reflectors, not real stars. Don't have any real light. Just come to revival to reflect what you've got. And the revival's over. They go back to their old evil ways. Is that right? But we are lively stones. We are living light. We hold a post of duty. We set in the orbit to light the world. Now, when this takes place, Michael stands for his people. He fights, and there is war in heaven. They said, Daniel, I heard you the first day, but said we run into the devil and his angels. And there was war in heaven. But old Lucifer was cast out. Jesus plowed through that middle wall of partition. Like shepherd, like the others that went up and plowed through that middle wall of partition. And went on up there and set their feet on the moon. See, the Bible said this woman had her feet upon the moon. Is that right? Who is the woman in our day? America. America's the woman. See, they emphasize the footprints on the moon. She is the one that's in the grace of God. That's illuminated as a religious woman. Her feet has been planted upon the moon. The Bible says, though thou makest thy nest among the stars, from thence I shall cast thee down to hell. Though thou climbest up to heaven, from thence I shall cast thee down. You know when they took that astronaut took that little spaceship, he set it down and they called it a nest. I remember that. They said, this is a nest, and he set down on the nest. Though thou makest thy nest among the stars. See, the woman had her feet on the moon. The woman was standing there. She had her feet on the moon. She was in hard travail, trying to bring forth a ruler that will rule America and rule all the world. Jimmy Carter. Trying to do that. Then where was the red dragon? Communism. Communism's also been shooting at the moon. The old red dragon of China. Communistic China. Shooting, laying in there. Waiting to devour the ruler that comes up in the United States because she intends to rule the world. But you watch what happens. Did you notice when the Pope came over here years ago, you know the one thing that he pleaded for? That was China coming into the UN. You understand what I'm saying? Now, we can't get into that. We're going with our subject here. But notice now, communism in the natural is the red dragon. The woman is America. The man-child is the great leader, the papacy of Rome, that will rule the world. That's your antitype. But the real is, as I explained to the church, see, if grace is over the people, as long as it is a day of grace, it is the second heaven. And during the time of that second heaven, it means that Satan is in the presence of God. But remember, if the devil got in through grace, then the way that he'll be cast out is when grace is ended. when the blood, as long as the blood is in heaven, it means that blood beings, physical beings, blood life, can come into the presence of God. But when the blood comes off of the mercy seat, then the blood of humanity will not be recognized as being innocent by the blood of the Lamb anymore. When the blood comes off of the mercy seat, as quick as the blood comes off of the mercy seat, that means the red dragon is cast out. No more blood life in the presence of God. Just as quick as that child is born, then the life is over for Satan and Lucifer goes out. Now look at it for just a minute. A third heaven. Lucifer cast out of heaven when the days of grace is over. I've said this a lot of times and I want to try to explain it to you. Why is it that God is allowing the woman to do like she does? The woman is not the head of the house. The man is the head of the house. Christ is the head of his house, not the church. The church doesn't have any right to set up programs, ritualistics, and all these kind of things. The church doesn't have any right with their intellectual powers to rule here on earth. But the Word of God, which is Christ the head, is the one that has the voice of authority in the earth. But why is God allowing this? Because when the woman is carrying the child, always the man will give in to the woman. Why? Because the woman can mark the baby. See, the little child can be marked, and he doesn't want the child to be marked. So then God gives in to the woman while she's carrying the child. Because if the woman doesn't feel the strength of God when she gets weak, if the woman don't feel the strength of the man, she gets melancholy. She leans on her own strength. And so then the church has to lean on Christ. God's giving a lot of grace, and the woman's getting by with a lot of things. But remember now, when that child is born, then God will put the church in its place. Just as quick as that child is born, the man will say, "Now, young lady, you get in your place. I'm the head of this house." Why is God giving into it? Because he doesn't want the child marked. Marked in what way? Marked by the mark of the beast. Everyone that takes the mark of the beast will be destroyed. And he doesn't want the beastly part of the church to mark the child. You understand? And if God doesn't give grace, then the woman won't look to the Spirit. She'll turn for strength and security to the beastly part. And then the child then has taken on some part of the beast. The beast has injected its will into the child. And God doesn't want it to be that way. It has to be a child without a birthmark. You understand? But just remember, just as quick as that child is born, Lucifer goes out. See, the woman is the one that gave place to Lucifer in the garden. Come on now. The woman was in the transgression, not the man, because the woman represents the church. Christ didn't transgress. Is that right? So then it is the woman. What is the woman? The flesh. See, the flesh is guilty. The flesh is what caused the trouble, sinful flesh, not Christ. It's the weakness of the woman. So then when the child is born, that means that the child cannot be marked. It's caught up to the third heaven. Then the woman goes into a wilderness. And I said the other night, after the birth of a child, she has to go until seven times passes over. 7 days if it's a male child before she can return to her husband. That's the Levitical law. So then the tribulation period has to pass over. After that, she comes out into the millennium to be there on the throne with her husband. You understand what I'm saying? But it must be that she passes through these things for her purification. Now, so then the blood life is at an end. When Jesus hanged at Calvary, he said, "I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven." How do you know that when you have storms in heaven, that's war in heaven? See, when you have these storms, these electrical storms, that's typical of war in heaven. All of those clouds bumping together, hot and cold clouds coming together. See, they're coming together, and lightning, friction, things is taking place. This is where the seven thunders comes from that John speaks of in the book of Revelation. See, war in heaven when Michael is clashing with those other angels. Then that's when the thunders utter their voices. And maybe we'll get into that before the services is over. But nevertheless, This shows us that this woman that John said really was a wonder, because it represented the day that you're living in, and America and the communistic power that's right now an aggressor in your own government, with the flag flying in Washington and a representative in the UN. Right now, it's happening. I made the statement last night that the federal authorities, the powers, have 1,700 newspapers under their oppression. At least 24 TV programs and radio programs carrying the gospel, they've already closed out. And 1,700 newspapers are under their pressure to keep them from carrying the glad tidings of great joy. In your own beloved city, Orlando, Florida, your authorities come out here to this tent, different ones, and the devil tries his best to that old intellectual bloodline to try to close us out to where there won't be any remembrance of Christ or any spiritual thing in the earth. But they'll make it convenient for all the others. Let a bunch of carnal-minded people come to town, and they'll make it convenient. Let frolics come to town, and they'll make it convenient. But remember, all of the world wondered after the beast. I'm going to close out here just a minute now. A lot of other things I like to say and need to say, but I won't try to say them to you tonight. But remember this one thing, all of the world wondered after the beast. What does that mean? It means that all of humanity wondered after the flesh, for the flesh is the beast. The Bible said these are brute beasts made to be taken and burned. They are the beast. They are a generation of vipers. They are the nearest thing to a son of God, but not a son of God. You understand? They are a man. They are a beast. They trace their ancestry back to monkeys and such things. Now, so then, that means one thing. That means that all the world shall wander after the worldly system. Satan is the prince of this world. And it will head up in a great Antichrist who will be the head of the beastly members, just like the church will head up into Christ Jesus, who will be the head of the members of the church, His body. And so all the world wondered after the powder, the paint, the lipstick, the frolics, the education, the money, the securities, the houses, the land, the cars. All of the world, for the Gentiles, seek after those things. But brother, sister, we mortify the deeds of the body. In the early church, they sold their houses, their land, their cars, everything they had, laid it down at the apostles' feet to spread the gospel to the ends of the earth. I know that preachers, Christians, real true laity, they are sacrificing every dime, every dollar, everything they can to get out the gospel, and they're just keeping back just enough to try to live on, making their jobs and lives a ministry. Because all of the world wondered after the flesh. All of the world wondered after the flesh. And you can tell today, it's as it was in the days of Noah. All flesh has corrupted its way before God. So they've all gone after the beastly part. Is that right? But I'm glad of one thing. That child has been caught up to the third heaven. Hallelujah. That child has been caught up to the third heaven. You love Jesus? Now the church is not the beast. The church is not the beast. She's in the midst of the beast. Amen. The church belongs to God. She's got a place prepared. You love Jesus? I want you to stand with me tonight. And I stopped here tonight. I wasn't near through. I just really getting started into my sermon there. But I done gone a little further than I intended to go. You folks must be hungry, because you pull it out. And I don't intend for all that to come out, because I don't want to get too much out and get you confused. But when people are hungry and thirst after righteousness, the Bible said they shall be filled. And if it's God talking, then I don't have anything to do with it. I just know when He tells me to slow down a little bit, because He doesn't want to confuse you. There's a whole lot more that I needed to have said tonight to clear up some things. But I believe that we've said enough from night to night, some of you coming regular, that you'll be able to understand and fit together a few things that I've said to you. Let's sing a little chorus together. Don't forget, I'm praying for you.
And I trust that you will pray for me. I trust that you will pray for me. I'm going to say something here. I might not ought to say it, but I'm going to say it anyway. I might get a repercussion out of it. I might lose part of my audience. But I believe God wants me to say it, or I wouldn't say it. Somebody gave me some pamphlets tonight. I don't know where they come from. It's called Spiritual Breakthrough. It says one of America's most outstanding charismatic evangelists. Now you try to believe what I'm telling you, because I'm telling you the truth. The charismatic move is not the move of God. Are you listening to me? I know it's big. It's breaking all over the world. People are having a tremendous shouting, hollering time, speaking in tongues. But you check out the charismatic move and you'll find one thing is missing. You say, what's that, Brother Pike? God. You say, how do you know that God's missing? Because the Bible said God is the spirit of holiness. And they don't teach holiness. They don't teach dressing right. They don't teach getting away from the world. The Bible said come out from among them, be a separate people. Amen. All right. So let's go God's way. They won't esteem the name of Jesus. You hold on to God because the charismatic move, and I know the word charismatic comes from charisma. And I know charisma. I know that we need that. We need that, see. We need charisma. That comes from Christ. It means Christ-like. But there is another meaning of the word. And it comes from a paganistic word from the Catholic Church. And it comes from a paganistic God. And this charismatic move, and this is the truth, some of these brethren can tell you. Years before it broke, I predicted that it would break. And I said, when it breaks, I said that the world will be swept up into a religious thing that will look Pentecostal. And I said, when they do it, I said the Pope of Rome will come out and bless it and be a part of it. As I live, just a few months ago, he came out to the charismatic move, he blessed it, and said, I think it's a great move of God. Now, see, it is not God, but it is the foolish virgins that doesn't have holiness. What is holiness? The all. God is the spirit of holiness, and the spirit is the all. They do not have the spirit, but they know the midnight cries here. And they have called Christian people foolish. The world has called them foolish. The big denominational powers have called them foolish. But all of a sudden they realize they're not foolish. And they're trying to get what those poor people have. They're trying to get it. The full gospel businessmen, I preach for them in California. The children have sang for them there in Los Angeles. I'm well acquainted with them. The other things, I know what they're doing. But let me tell you something. It's the foolish virgins trying to get the all and trying to mix the worldly darkness with the light of holy living. And it'll never work. It is the beast image coming up, the foolish virgins, who hath realized that the Holy Ghost is real and that they don't have the Holy Spirit, and they are running with all of their might to try to get it. You love Jesus? But glory to God, we already got it. Hallelujah. The Bible said when they went to look for it, the children of God went in. Is that right? The revelation of Jesus Christ is going to take them in while the others are looking for the all. Watch and see if it happens that way. All right. So then we appreciate you tonight. I want to sing this little chorus with you. Oh, pass me not, oh, gentle Savior. Hear my humble cry, and while on others thou art called, fallen. Oh, do not pass me by.
Now, if you want to be prayed for, if you'll come up, I'll take a few minutes tonight and lay hands on you and pray for you, and God will heal you. God will heal you. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. God will heal you. I'm trying my best to emphasize the word during my meetings. Though we pray for the sick, and God has given us many wonderful things, but I'm trying to emphasize the word, because the Bible said to be so close to deceive the very elect if possible. And these things that's taking place, and these charismatic moves and evangelistic moves on the tent, they're bringing about lying signs and wonders. You say, Brother Pike, you can't change a sign into a lying sign. The Bible said they changed the word of God into a lie. Paul said so. They perverted the word in the ears of the people. If they can do that, they can pervert the signs in the sights of the people. Now, but said three unclean spirits went out of the false prophet's mouth. Where did they go to? To Florida. Oh, somebody said it didn't say that. It said they went into all the world. Florida's a part of it. Working miracles and signs and wonders. Gathering them all together to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. You love Jesus? See, I'm not commercializing off of God. I'm trying to tell the truth, tell the people the truth, and emphasize the Word of God. But healing is in the atonement. And we do pray for the sick. I believe in anointing with oil and praying for the sick. I believe in just laying hands on the sick as the elders do. And God will heal you, and we do pray for the sick. And God gives us some wonderful things. But I want you to know the truth. If you want to be prayed for tonight, if you're sick in your body, you're entitled to healing. If you believe this message, you will be healed. For the Bible said God sent His Word and healed them. And that's why I'm preaching the Word. It takes the Word to heal you. If I can get you to hear the Word and believe the Word will heal you. For He sent His Word and healed them. Faith in the Word will deliver you. So tonight, if you want to be prayed for, if you'd like for me to lay hands on you, I'll be glad to pray for you tonight. Take a few minutes. I always sing this one more time. Can you? Oh, Savior. Oh, Savior. Won't you hear my humble cry? And while alone others thou are calling, oh, do not pass me by. While they're playing on the musical instruments and singing, just keep on singing and worshiping God. And I want to pray for these people. And I believe, as much as I believe that I breathe, that God will heal these people, and God will make these people well. And God will do something for these. Coming in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like the waters of the ocean. But to believe. And as we pray, God will do something for you. Hallelujah. He'll give you strength. He'll give you help. I feel the Holy Ghost, don't you? I do. I feel somebody believing tonight. I feel faith in this place. Somebody's going to get healed tonight. Hallelujah. Somebody's going to get healed because I already feel the healing. I feel that virtue that went out from Christ that healed the little woman. And I know tonight that that same virtue is in the body of Jesus. You're the body of Jesus tonight. And when these people start believing, that same healing virtue is going to come out from your body and it's going to heal these people. I want you to believe with me, and I want you to pray with me tonight. Hallelujah. Father of heaven tonight, oh, hallelujah. I feel the mighty power of the Holy Ghost. Heal this body. Break the yoke tonight, Jesus. Look down from heaven and honor the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. You're honoring the name of your Son, Jesus, now. Name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God, I feel healing right now. By the name of Jesus tonight, honor the faith of this mother. You said you'd hear from heaven and heal our lands, Jesus. And if two or three of us would come together in your name, that you'd be right here in the midst of us. Father, As I look at this faith tonight, I see faith in this heart. But God, I also see where Satan has hindered this faith. And dear God, I want you to move the condemnation. I want you to move everything out of it. And I want this faith to be strengthened tonight. Forgetting those things that are behind. Looking to the grace of God, for you said your mercies are new every day. Father, strengthen this faith. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus tonight, Father. Heal this mother. Heal this mother. Answer this request, this desire. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus tonight. Father, touch this little lad. The wonderful name of Jesus touches little body. Father, touch this mother tonight. Oh, hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, Father. Heal this body. Make it well. Oh, God, break this yoke. Encourage this faith. Lord, that Satan is trying to beat down. Let it be lifted up. Hallelujah. I feel you doing it now. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, as I pray for this young boy tonight, I pray in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, that you'll do something for his heart. Hallelujah. Jesus, I see him as he is in shackles and in chains with his hands bound together. But I pray tonight the shackles will be broken. And dear God, every chain of bondage will fall off of his life. Loose him and let him go tonight. Satan, I adjure thee by the blood spilled at Calvary that you take your hands off of this boy tonight. In the name of Jesus, we speak liberty to him and healing to this body. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah.
Let go.
Father, as I pray for this elderly brother tonight, I believe in the name of Jesus that you'll do something for him. Give him strength tonight. I feel you giving him strength right now. Lord, you said the man at the gate called beautiful, his ankle bones receive strength. And faith tonight will give him strength. Let the weak say that I'm strong. Strong in the power of your might. Heal this body and give strength. In the name of Jesus tonight, Father. Father, touch this girl tonight. I pray that the name of Jesus, Lord, will be in our midst tonight. And the power of God will flow freely from that name tonight. God, to bring healing. Lord, you said if we ask anything in your name, that you would do it. I'm asking in the name of Jesus, as I feel faith in this heart. Heal this body. Whatever the problems is in this life, I ask you to correct them. In the name of Jesus.